Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is nestled right in Montgomery County outside of Philadelphia, near King of Prussia and Norristown. Pennsylvania is a very big state. There are people that run for office in all parts of the state, and all across the country, of course, but Pennsylvania is often known as Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, with Alabama in between, is the old James Carville reference, but it's a very diverse state. We talk to people from the Lehigh Valley, I know people from central Pennsylvania, and there's a lot of wonderful counties and places in this state, and some younger faces running all over the place as well. You've heard from people who've run for different offices before on this podcast, and today I'm excited to talk to someone from my original kind of neck of the woods, Western PA, Matt Mascara, running for treasurer in Westmoreland County. So, Matt, thank you for joining the You Should Run podcast.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So, tell me a little bit about yourself. What brings you to run for treasurer? And you're young, right?
I am 22 years old.
22 yep. years old. I imagine there's not a lot of 22-year-olds running for county treasurer across the country.
No, I wouldn't think that's the case, but I decided pretty early on, I'd say probably when I was in middle school, that politics was my thing, and I just went with it ever since.
Well, you didn't just decide that out of the blue, obviously. Politics is in everyone's family, but it's a little bit more in yours, right?
It is. My grandfather was a congressman. He's actually started off being a county controller in the early 70s in Washington County. Then he ran for county commissioner in 1980, and then in 92 he challenged Austin Murphy. Wasn't successful, but ran again and was in Congress till 2003 when they redistricted in 2000. He had to run against Jack Murtha in a primary, which he ultimately lost. But
yeah, that's tough to beat Jack Murtha.
It's always been in my family. It sure has.
Well, I know that your grandfather, he was very accomplished, did a lot for the area, and as a result, I mean, even though you're young, so maybe you didn't see everything, but you saw the power that politics and governing can have for a community, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How was that instilled in you? Because for so many people, they think of family politics or career politicians, as people like to say, and I don't like to use that as a pejorative, but people see it as bad. What did you see from growing up in that kind of environment?
Well, I tell you what, obviously I'm a little biased. I come from a different background, but I have to say at the community level, and I'm from the Mon Valley, which is a bunch of old steel towns that used to be thriving. They're not quite as thriving as they used to be. And the effect of having maybe a family lineage in politics or a career in it, you know, my grandfather was able to, rise to the ranks and bring in a lot of federal funding to a lot of areas that were really struggling at the decline of the steel mills. So I know there's a lot of opposition maybe to someone who, you know, it appears as if they're climbing the ladder. But in my case, at least from my view, from where I'm from, it did a lot of good having somebody, you know, from the grassroots come up and climb the ladder and be able to fight for, you know, the locals. Oftentimes you have congressional districts, I think people there from the bigger parts of the district and the small areas don't see the funding or see the action. Having someone that comes from the grassroots and comes from, you know, an area like my grandfather did and kind of make a career out of it, he was really able to help a lot of people. So
but you're not running for Congress, at least not yet.
Nope.
You are running for treasurer. So what's the background that made you think treasurer is your way to go? Because like I said, that seems like a different kind of choice for someone who's younger to run for office.
Well, I tell you what, I've noticed in the past that through a lot of the work I've done, I was in student government for years in high school. I was president of my class all 4 years in high school and then all 4 years in college. And a lot of the projects that I at least had done or, you know, different things through student government, we go to senior citizens, you know, homes and nursing homes and things like that and do, you know, community service and do projects. And kind of helping senior citizens has always been an interest of mine. And I noticed, at least at the county treasurer's office, a lot of the services that we offer which is dog license, boating license, which, you know, typically wouldn't be, you know, too frequent, but the dog license specifically, you have these different licenses that the office holds and oversees, and I don't think they're being streamlined properly to the older residents of Westmoreland County anyhow. So I thought that that was, you know, with experience I have and also with ideas that I have, I think that that's kind of why I chose the county treasurer's office. I think that I have the knowledge and I think I have the ideas to kind of bring the services that the county offers at the treasurer's office to the senior citizens better than they are right now.
And you spent 4 years in college doing this kind of stuff too. Where'd you go to college? What did you kind of do there that kind of prepared you?
I studied political science with a minor in history at St. Vincent. And so I handled.
That's where the Steelers play, right?
Personally handled, but our government did, and not nowhere near the county's budget, but a substantial budget for a younger generation. So I have the experience necessary, but.
Well, in a previous podcast, I was talking with a city council member who's a public school teacher in Oklahoma City, and he is a little bit older than you, but he still said that the majority of their council is under 40, and they're working on a $1 billion long-term plan. So,
oh my.
You know, there's nothing to say that age means you can't work on these plans, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, but my opinion, age is just a number when it comes to politics, because, you know, you look at the national level and you look at different places, younger and younger people are running for office. And I think certain offices, you need that youth and the energy to kind of revamp things.
Well,
so absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I think you see it a lot now, even in Congress, with a lot of younger faces and not even the ones that get all the credit. Not to credit or disparage anyone, but there's a lot of new people in the state house and in mayors, and people don't even realize that they're younger people that won. Which brings me to a question I have as a potential challenge, and tell me if I'm wrong, but is it hard to get people to think about a treasurer race?
It is. The most common question I get is, what does the treasurer even do? So it's kind of hard to run for an office when the 95% of the time the first question that's asked is, what do you do? So that's kind of been a hurdle for me. It's obviously running for state house or county commissioner is a lot more tasty and has a lot more, you know, appeal to it than the county treasurer. But one thing that I've been doing to kind of, I think, politics aside, I think, is just educate people. I think as a younger person, you know, I think I have the energy and I have the interest. I think educating people in the office is advantageous for both myself who's running and for the people that I want to serve. So I think educating has been my biggest thing so far, is just trying to make a case for myself rather than just educate and say, if you have any questions, I'm always here to answer them. You know, that's kind of been my thing. It's not the easiest office to drive up support for.
Now, I've been talking with a number of people who have different perspectives based on their elections they've been involved with, especially people who ran for judge. And it's hard to think of how a judicial race can be political. But when talking to someone, people who run for judge or parthenotary, and even someone who's a disability rights activist, who was my last podcast I recorded, there's the issue of accessibility, and it sounds like that's something that, you know, it's hard to figure out how a Democrat versus Republican might be different on something like treasurer, but you probably might have some ideas in terms of making the office more accessible and open. Is that what I'm getting at here?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, there's your typical party lines, you know, between Democrat and Republicans, and I think one emphasis that I have is, you know, I'm not going to, you know, make spending through the roof out of the treasurer's office. But if I think, if I have to spend a little more to make the services better, I think I'd be more willing to do that than maybe the current treasurer is, who prides himself on cutting costs. That's just the difference between him and I. You know, so I think there is maybe some party lines involved with the treasurer's office, but not a ton, like you said.
Because, I mean, when you're a treasurer, you're dealing with numbers, you're dealing with budgets, but when it comes to government service, you're not just talking about bottom line dollars. You're talking about actual human lives, right?
Absolutely. absolutely. And I think that, you know, like I was talking about earlier, you know, if it comes to me making sure that a senior citizen living in New Kensington doesn't have to drive all the way to Greensburg, or, you know, get online, or doesn't, in some cases, and I'd say more cases than people would know, is someone doesn't have access to internet. So if you can't go online and get it, and driving all the way to Greensburg, which in some cases in my county, which Greensburg's the city that's the capital of the county, mm-hmm. Driving from Manassas or from the farthest point of the county, it's not that easy to get there. It's not very accessible. So if I have to spend a little more to make sure that a county resident gets that service, I'm willing to do so. It's not all about dollars and cents, like you said.
And so what kind of ways can you do that? I've heard of different ideas in my county, in Montgomery County, but what can you do concretely to make those kind of services more accessible?
Well, one idea that I have is to set up satellite, not offices, not permanent offices anyway, but advertise in advance and go to different municipalities and boroughs throughout Westmoreland County and say, so on, you know, say in August 5th and 7th, the 5th through the 7th, I personally will come to your county or to your borough or municipality, and I will facilitate the process right then and there to get your dog license, you know, or your small games of chance, whatever the license is of that choice. So that way the residents of that region don't have to drive all the way to Greensburg or go online. They can get it right then and there. So that's just one way to streamline that service to the public.
That's terrific. So Westmoreland County is a big county, right? We have a lot of counties in Pennsylvania, and some of them have different challenges than others. But in addition to making people aware of running the treasurer's office, are there any specific challenges that you've encountered that maybe you weren't prepared for as you've been running, or that you, with your previous family experience, knew I better be on the ball with that kind of thing?
You mean just like challenges as far as
campaigning, like things that like came up that like you realize, well, this is a harder aspect of campaigning than I expected, and as a result, like, here's what we had to do, or here's how we made it easier for us.
I would say for me so far is identifying myself as myself and in the Democrat Party. You know, the national party obviously plays a role in county politics, even though, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, these different candidates, and what they say really has no bearing on a county treasurer's race. But identifying myself and, you know, kind of giving the public, you know, who I really am, and maybe not just hiding behind the veil of the party, but, you know, more or less, you know, showing my views, I think has been my biggest thing in the party, where I stand and how I feel. And making that relevant as far as, you know, my candidacy goes.
And one of the things you need to do when you're running for office is raise money and, you know, get volunteers. And that seems like it might be a little bit hard to do with a race like treasurer as opposed to a more high-profile race. Have you found that you're able to take care of your campaign the way you need to, or are there unique challenges that you think people should be prepared for or not be concerned with?
I would say fundraising is difficult. I've had one fundraiser so far, and I was fortunate enough to have a lot of people show up and show their support. But I think, like you said, for a race like this, it would be hard to have a golf outing, you know, or, you know, hold a fundraiser for county treasurer, because it's just not, it doesn't carry that appeal, you know, where there's people that are willing to, you know, pour a bunch of money into your race. So I tend to think of maybe a happy medium, a hybrid of a fundraiser, something where it's enjoyable, you know, where, you know, the people that want to support me, they get a service or an experience, whether it's, you know, something small, a cookout. That's kind of been my approach to this summer. I'm planning on having a fundraiser that's, you know, maybe not as, you know, $100 a plate, where, you know, it's kind of hard to come at fundraising from that angle running this race. But, you know, I'm definitely trying my best.
So one of the things that's been brought up over the past few years in Pennsylvania is that, I guess one way of saying it is, it seems like the Republicans in my side of the state could almost be like Democrats on your side of the state, and depending on where.
Really?
And, well, it seems like, the, you know, there's very, but that's a misconception, right? And I feel like the Democratic Party is not always the same everywhere, or that it's evolved in some ways. I had an experience doing some volunteer work on something in Westmoreland County many years ago, and I remember some county officials were against making it easier to vote. I was like, but you would win. Don't you want to do that? Since you've been there, have you found some source for some sense of optimism and hope that, you know, the party is evolving and growing and changing with the times?
Are you talking on a national level? Or
no, in your area. I don't. I mean, like you said, when you're running in these offices, nothing against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, but they don't really matter when it comes to Westmoreland County politics.
Yeah. No, I agree. I would say, at least at where I'm at, Democrats, there's been a big shift. You know, when my grandfather was in politics, a Democrat, it's almost not even recognizable where the party, I think, is right now, where it's heading to where it was 30 years ago, which I think that can be both good and bad, depending on where, you know, where you stand, politically speaking. But the party, the Democrat Party here, is, I think, progressing and becoming more progressive. And I think that a lot of the older school traditional Democrats, which that's a large chunk of the voting base here, is the older generation. I'm seeing a trend, and we saw it in Westmoreland County 4 years ago. I think we still had 15 or 20,000 more registered Democrats. Now Republicans have, I think, a little over 1,000 more than we do. That's a massive switch from Democrat to Republican. And I have to say, my theory is a lot of the people that made the switch from Democrat to Republican were more conservative voters. They were those classic blue-collar Reagan-esque Democrats that I think just, they stayed in the party for a long time, and maybe in the last, you know, obviously in the last 4 years, it's been pretty polarizing. I think a lot of those people just, they hadn't been voting Democrat for a while. They were party name only, and they made the switch. So that's kind of something I've noticed out here, as far as party identity goes. So a little different, a little bit of a switch.
Well, this makes me think that maybe it's a reason why more, especially young progressive people, should run for office for these county races or these borough races, is you can bridge that gap between the more progressive younger Democrats in the party and the older ones who are like, well, I'm registered Democrat, but, and you can kind of reshape what the face of the party is in your county, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's something that younger, you know, members of the Democrat Party, at least where I'm at, I think, you know, we set that as a goal for ourselves to kind of bridge that gap. Because I think right now, anyhow, there is a very large gap, and I think that there needs to be work on both sides to come together and, you know, understand that we can do a lot more together than, you know, kind of, there's this tug of war between like a younger, more progressive movement and against the older conservative. You know, there is definitely a tug of war. It's very visible, and I think that there can be, you know, work done on both sides to kind of, you know, mesh together.
So there's a tug of war, but where, especially when you're running for something on a county level, where do you think the sides interact, come together? Because I feel like a lot of the difference is more in tone than in policy. And, I mean, a lot of the things you hear from, you know, Elizabeth Warren on policy are things that are just lifting up the New Deal and things that, you know, our grandparents were strongly for, and suddenly things have kind of changed. So, you know, and maybe it's not that big of a difference. How do you bridge that and bring people together while running for office?
I tell you what. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I think education.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, even still, I think regardless of where anyone stood in 2016, everybody can agree that it struck this new interest in politics amongst a lot of people. I can't tell you, and I've loved politics almost all my life, so, you know, I was reading the little articles that nobody cared about before that. And I can't tell you how many times I'd go to talk to different friends of mine about it, and they wouldn't have a clue. But if I do today, they know exactly what I'm talking about. So I think that's great that there's this new people care a lot more, I think, now, or have at least more of an interest to watch and read than they did prior to the 2016 election. I strongly believe that. I think the one way to bridge it is just truly educating people on what it is that they're making points about. Because oftentimes, at least when I've been canvassing, outdoor knocking, I get a lot of national political questions. And, you know, I'm not going to ever correct somebody that I'm knocking on their door to get their vote. I'm not going to get, you know, spar with them. But I notice sometimes some of the comments that I get about me being a member of my party or whatever, they're not exactly true. Or if they are true, it's a distorted version of the truth, and it's very biased, and, like, not the comments that are being made aren't based off of a truly educated reading of an article. Like, I know that they didn't read an entire newspaper article about it. It was a headline that they maybe read a little sub column about, and that was it. And now they have that opinion, and they're never going to change from it. So I think educating and truly getting to the source would be a massive way to bridge the gap, because I think that, you know, the more educated people are, the better off they are making decisions. And I think that that's how we could mesh together. But right now it's kind of hit or miss. When I'm outdoor knocking, I get some people that are on the ball and some that just, you know, I think their opinions are, you know, they're pretty stuck on their opinions, and that's fine. They're entitled to them, but I just don't think that they're truly digging in as they should. And I think that's going to be a hurdle bridging the gap, is trying to educate more.
And I think we would both agree that if you're going to run for office, one thing you're going to need to do is focus on your own election or the thing you're working on, not something that has nothing to do with the office you're knocking for.
Yep, and that's been the hardest part, is trying to rein that in and say, well, you know, I understand, you know, you really have to be careful, you know, but like I said, I get these questions all the time, so I always try to revert back to my office, you know, what I'm running for and what I stand for, what I want to do for the treasurer's office. But I think right now the times politically are very polarized, and it kind of makes it difficult for me to really, you know, have that conversation about the treasurer's office in some cases.
So do you think that based on a lot of the news reports about central Pennsylvania or these counties that have switched registration or used to be Democratic strongholds and now they're trending redder, do you think that, one, it may be scaring off people to run for office, and two, that that's a reason why you should run for office, because you need to change that perception, and you're not going to change it by sitting around doing nothing?
No, I think that, you know, and you hear it all the time, is your local politics affects you way more than national politics do day to day. And I think that, you know, the more people that run for office, I think the more people, and it was so far, I ran with a woman, she lost in the primary, but she became a good friend of mine. She had never run for office before. She had no, like, real political experience. She was running for Register of Wills. And I was with her from the beginning to the end of her experience running for Register of Wills. And I have to say that, you know, her running, you know, maybe even made a difference in her community, but it made even a difference in her and educating people. It was truly just a surreal, like, watching someone who I've always kind of been in politics and always wanted to run and had an interest, but just watching her grow and change and educate people and want to make a difference, I think, and even seeing the change in her from the beginning to the end in such a positive way, and how passionate she was really touching to me. I was pretty bummed out that she lost, but I think more people running for office only benefits everybody. Just, you know, from an education standpoint and having a better, you know, knowledge of what's going on.
Well, that's perfect. And I guess that's why more people should run. And the one other thing, so we'll change perceptions in different parts of Pennsylvania and the country, galvanize more people. You can campaign on actual issues more than just party labels when you're running for something like treasurer. And so why should more young people run for office, especially? You know, I've talked with a number of people who are in their 20s who've run for office. There used to be a perception or a feeling like you know, oh, it's something where you need a lot of experience. But if only people who are in their 50s and above are running for office, then government doesn't represent everyone under that age. So why and how should more young people get involved in running for office?
I think why, because I think that there's been this, I don't want to say it's a barrier, but I do want to say a stereotype, but you know, and of course, I truly, as a younger man in society, maybe don't have the knowledge, you know, of a 40-year-old man, but what I do have is a different perspective. And I think the perspective and a different, you know, perspective on how to handle government, I think, is huge. And I think that that's the difference between, you know, when people, you know, there are a lot of people, and I see it all the time when I'm campaigning, don't you think you're a little young? And I say, absolutely not. I bring a completely different view than, you know, someone older than myself would have, you know. There's people that are 50 and 60 years old who are in office right now, and they can't even do their job. So I don't think that, you know, that should transfer over to a 23-year-old or a 22-year-old. You know, if you're younger, you can't run. I think that the more younger people that run, and, you know, I think, too, you know, it's so far it's made me, at least how it's affected myself, is, you know, responsibility. You know, I know the responsibility that's ahead of me when I win, and I know what, you know, as a younger person, you know, I carry a torch, you know, per se, that, you know, I'm a younger person, I'm successful, and if I win, you know, I'm not just, you know, I'm not just responsible for residents of my county, but I'm also responsible to show that younger people can and, you know, should govern because of our perspective. We just bring a different perspective to the table. So,
no, I really appreciate that, because as someone who comes from an underrepresented group, whether it's by age or gender or race or religion or something like that, you do often come in with a kind of a chip on your shoulder to prove that you belong there and that other people like you belong there too.
Yep.
Well, great. So, Matt, before we finish up here, how can people learn more about you? You know, I'm not here to endorse anybody or campaign, but like where can people learn about Matt Mascara?
I have a Facebook page. I'm elect Matt Mascara for Westmoreland County Treasurer. I also have my Facebook. I have a Twitter, SirMatt51. I don't usually use it for campaign stuff, but here and there I will. But primarily my Facebook page is where you can find a lot of my information and see what I'm all about.
I'm sure that's different from a lot of past Westmoreland County row office campaigns, right?
Yeah, I would have to say so, yes.
So, well, I hope you're able to lift up a lot of people and encourage more people to run for office. Matt, thanks for joining the You Should Run podcast. Everyone, check out Matt's profile, learn more about him, and learn more about other young people and fresh faces who are running for office all across the state and the country. And if you're getting annoyed with how things are going on in your community or the country, don't just sit back and be annoyed, right, Matt?
Absolutely. Get up and take control.
Take control and run for office.
Take action. Yep.
Thank you, Matt, for joining us, and we appreciate
it. It's been a pleasure.